welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. We're still having phone fun. We've switched it up yet again. Now we're moving to Skype so we can have Skype fun. Because the phone fun wasn't enough.
No, we're gonna step it up a notch and have even more fun.
We're gonna increase the complexity. We're gonna cause Sue to have a medical event here. She's gonna be like, okay, yeah, it was fun when I engineered your show last week, but it's the bloom is off the rose, as they say.
Yeah, you people need to go away.
You people with your kooky music and your silliness and your phones and Skype and all your jazz. So, that being said, you can find everything about our show at wethepeopleradio.us. And I would encourage you to do that because there's a ton of stuff up today, honestly. We've got a great deal of information up there on immigration that we covered the first half of the first hour. We never have this many topics.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of stuff
very
going
confusing.
On.
Yeah, a lot of juggling.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Which is probably why we don't do it like this. Because we don't like it and we suck at it.
That's right.
Kind of, a little bit. So you've got immigration, the first half of the first hour. You've got a couple of really good PDF files on there that, you know, just click on them and you can read them. And they're the president's proposals for immigration. They're excellent. And so there's a lot of, I don't know, you know how it goes. There's a lot of goofy stuff up on the news and all that. If you're one of those people that's like, just tell me what it really is, give me the facts, and let me read it for myself, we can do that for you. So head to wethepeopleradio.us, scroll down just a teensy bit. You'll see a couple of PDF files. One is a visual that's got just some charts and graphs, not real super complicated. Actually, they're very, very basic. And then the other one is a two-page targeted list of actual policy, so you can see what is actually being proposed. And that we got directly from the White House via our friend Bruce Moran. We then went to Israel. Actually, we went to San Francisco to talk about Israel with the Consul General, Shlomi Kaufman, who's a super nice guy we've had on before, and got a little update on the Israeli elections. Fun facts there. And so now we're going to move to South Africa with our friend Dr. Harry Buyens. So just in case you've never heard the show before, which, how could that happen? I mean, what else would you be doing on Sunday afternoon? This is part 10. Of our issue on the real South Africa in our series, actually. We just started numbering it because it started to get too confusing. So I started numbering the episodes, as it were. So we've got tons of history. He is from South Africa, has a 360-year bloodline back into the country of South Africa with his family. So it isn't like he just, you know, went there on a trip, thought it was a cool place, and thought he'd talk about it a lot. No.
Well, his ancestors went there on a trip.
they kind of go on a trip and stayed.
Yeah, they stayed.
And actually, one of his ancestors was a slave. So there just is a lot of information that is completely, that we just get, that's just completely fake about South Africa. So if you'd really like to know the truth about it, his book, Amabulu, I've got that on the website. It's terrific. He also maintains a blog. I've got the link to that on the site. He's a prolific writer and a really good storyteller. So we've got him on the, I don't know, phone or something. We've bridged the gap.
Yeah.
Okay. We train wrecked on Skype and we went back to the telephone. You know, God love the telephone. You know, after that, we're going to have
good old Ma Bell.
We're going to have him here in person. But we keep talking to people who live too far away. It's not like we can tell them to run on over. So I should tell you about Harry, though, in case you don't know anything about him, in case you think he's just a guy from South Africa. He's actually an internationally recognized, multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist. Go figure that out. He's originally from South Africa, I told you that part, and he lives in Vancouver, Canada now. But because he was a scientist for basically his whole life, I guess once a scientist, always a scientist, he's really committed to fact. So you won't hear a whole bunch of opinion and, you know, what he thinks about it and his spin on things, you know.
Feelings.
Oof, the F word.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not going to do the feelings. Although there are a lot of feelings to be had when you talk about South Africa. He's going to give us the facts, and I've got an article that he wrote recently that is at the very bottom of the page. You can just scroll directly to the bottom. It says for discussion today, and it's, again, about the elections. So take it away, Harry. Where'd you like to go?
Welcome, Harry.
Well, hi, folks. Hi, Aaron. Hi, Bill. And by the amazing wonders of a scientific guy by the name of Bell, I believe we can talk today.
Yes, we're doing well.
You know, we're doing our best to give Sue a run for her money. She's probably already figuring out how she can schedule something other than Sunday afternoons.
We have tried three channels of bubblegum technology, and it wouldn't work.
Because we could hear you, but it wouldn't go through the radio, which isn't really all that helpful for the people listening.
Yeah. And I stared at a black screen wondering, you know, what's at the other side of this black hole. I was hoping to talk to you and the good folks who are listening today about really the western portion of South Africa. And I would introduce that with the fact that there's just been an election in the country. And then I'd like to move on to something I've said every time, which is a couple of drop-dead important facts for those who haven't listened before. And then move on to the subject of the Western Cape, which I think is now the only option remaining for civilized people in South Africa.
Okay.
So, yes, we've had an election down there. And as everyone realized, Mandela's ANC party would win again, this time with a reduced majority. It dropped from somewhere in the 60% down to 57%. That was widely anticipated because, quite frankly, that party has messed up that country to such a degree and impoverished millions. And someone was going to take out their ire on them, and it happened. Mostly it's black people who got miffed. So not too many of them turned up at the polling stations. It's somewhere in the high 50s, I think. So that's the lowest ever, considering it was up near 80-something in 1994. So there was, in fact, a loud message to this crowd. The party that came second is the one that historically was the opposition in South Africa back through the decades. And they got a loud message as well. They fell from something in the 20% to just scratching 20. And that was basically for two reasons, and that is that many black people really didn't buy their story, and number two, a lot of the rural white people just basically chucked them down the toilet and said, we've had enough, you are nothing but ANC light. That's actually the term used, ANC light, as with light beer. And the farming community and the rural white community voted en masse for a group called Freedom Front Plus, whose banner was Strike Back. Basically, their message was, we don't like being tortured to death.
Imagine that.
That's kind of basic, I would say. This party, the DA, the Democratic Alliance, which the one that was the historical opposition, they try to all kinds of courtship things across the divide in South Africa to grow their numbers. And in the end, I think solid Republicans in the United States would call them a bunch of pink rhinos. If that makes any sense. Spelled R-I-N-O in American terminology.
Right.
Okay. So, and that's what you have. The guy that you have played many recordings of, Julius Malema, who's the one who's forever on a stage shouting, kill the whites. He upped his percentage to significant numbers. He's now in third position.
Oh, great.
And generally in fourth position, it's a sort of a toss-up between this Freedom Front guys, the rural whites, and the rural Zulu, who are traditionalist Zulu in Zululand. It's confined to that territory.
Okay. Hold that thought before we get too deep in, and we'll take a really quick break and then come back so we don't break up that thought, because it is kind of confusing for people who don't know the history. We'll be right back. All right. You're listening to We the People.
There's
Okay, so Harry, back to the story.
Yes, ma'am.
Without further delay.
Yeah. So I mentioned the result of the national election. The truth is that while the numbers are kind of squirreling about and so forth, the national election is not, it doesn't produce anything insightful. There is nothing really to get your teeth into in terms of analysis, except that all the parties kind of lost votes and the fringe guys got more intense. Which really, just one message, the country is becoming more divided than ever before. And it's hardly surprising when people are being murdered. So, you know, I'm on paper saying this is the stuff that South Africans can talk excitedly about as though it makes any real difference. And the media guys kind of discuss it with very earnest faces as though they're debating Whitehall in England. But it's not Whitehall. That ANC party has turned South Africa into just another S-hole, as your president would say. And Parliament is now merely a place where some non-black folks are allowed to sit and listen to what next horror is to be perpetrated on them without being able to do anything about it. So to fight an election as a so-called colored or white or Indian person in South Africa is basically a stupid fool's errand. It's more akin to squabbling about seats on the Titanic. What's the point?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's best summed up by the previous president, who was the boss of the ANC and the president of the country. How can you possibly have democracy for the colored Indian or white folks when the state president calls them cockroaches that are to be removed?
Yeah. You can't.
You know,
yeah, that's hard
country,
to explain.
Some people get a little bit intense because President Trump suggested that some other countries may be sending their rapists across the border. In the case of South Africa, the president stands on a stage and calls 20% of the population cockroaches to be removed. That would have played real well on CNN if it were President Trump.
Yeah.
So that's what we've got. I think the correct way to look at that election is that the expropriator-in-chief, Cyril Ramaphosa, has just been given a five-year term as national president to do exactly what he pleases. But that's subject to the wishes of a guy called Ace Magashule, who is the secretary general of that party. And what happened at the end of 2017 was that in order to get the support of the powers that be in the party to be made president, Ramaphosa, the new president, had to go and commit to that group that he would steal the property of white people. It's that blunt, it's that simple, it's that straightforward. Okay? There's never anything subtle about South Africa. Don't read subtlety into it. When they say they're going to steal your property, they mean they actually intend to steal your property. They don't understand there's anything wrong with that statement. Okay. So, without that commitment that Ramaphosa made, he was not going to be anointed to be the replacement for the previous guy, who quite frankly was a polygamist, animist, village idiot, Zuma. And the result is that the country now has a president that is a competent man with a politically evil intent, rather than what used to be a loud-mouthed, incompetent little village chief. And if Cyril Ramaphosa doesn't do as agreed, he might well end up dead, because Magashule has quite a reputation, and I mean might end up dead. There's nothing subtle about South Africa. When I say he might end up dead, I mean he might end up dead. So we have a situation now, meanwhile, that Julius Malema, whom you've heard make his kill the white statement a couple of times, he's now threatened the Indians in the country. And, you know, they're running around. Many of the black folks in South Africa are running around calling the colored people Malau, which is a very derogatory term down there.
And just a little note there, the colored people in South Africa are not black. These are the people who you're colored if you are not black.
Yeah. And this that is the cue for me to tell you about the Western Cape, its history, and why I'm focusing on that at the moment. Whenever people in South Africa get hold of me and ask me what to do, I tell them, move. You either emigrate or you move west. Alternatively, you can wait to die.
Yeah, it sounds pretty much like you have no choice at this point. If you have no representation and you have such a maniacal leader that is openly...
said that his plan is to kill you.
Yeah.
And it's okay if other people do it. Just go ahead.
Yeah, it sounds like you better pack your bags and move.
Yeah, and so today I would like to focus on why am I telling people to move west? Okay? Because, quite frankly, let's be blunt here. Again, like I said, there's nothing subtle ever about South Africa. First of all, there's about 5 million white folks in the country. There's about 3.5 million colored folks. Now, colored in South Africa means people of mixed descent. And I will explain that mixed descent in a while. And that distinction between white and colored is, in my opinion, grossly stupid, unfair, and ill-conceived. And I will get to that. You can't basically kill that many people without gas chambers. That many people can't immigrate into another country. I don't think the United States is going to accept, 9 million immigrants from South Africa.
No.
Yeah, that's kind of an overload there.
If you can't kill them en masse, and you can't physically kick them out en masse, remember the Indians were kicked out of East Africa and Britain accepted them and Canada accepted them. I have several East African Indian friends. They were booted out by Idi Amin and people like that, and by all these other people that, some in the U.S. now hold heroes. So they know exactly what I'm talking about. They've lived this stuff, but they weren't that many. So you actually cannot fix this by genocide without bringing down the ire of the planet eventually. Even CNN would eventually have to speak the truth. They can't lie forever. Even they would have to admit something is wrong when people start to get killed en masse. So that's a challenge to them. See, try the truth, CNN. It might set you free. Where did I hear that? Now, sorry, this is the point at which I probably should, as usual, apologize to your listeners because my wit tends to be sometimes acid dripping and sarcastic, and some great British personalities have said before that you shouldn't be sarcastic with Americans. They don't like sarcasm and they carry guns.
Oh, see, we like sarcasm and we carry guns, so,
Yeah, we love you, Harry. That's fine.
And we use sarcasm a lot because, you know what, honestly, the only people, and you know this, Harry, the people who hate sarcasm are the people who don't get it.
Yeah, I know.
That's really the only reason to hate it is you just don't get it, which...
It has to be an American that makes that comment, you see. Now,
happy to help.
Otherwise, I will get, hanged, drawn, and quartered.
Oh, yeah, not here, though.
So the right. So
you see what you want here.
That it's impossible. Therefore, a place has to be found somehow for these people.
Yeah,
where they don't have to have a life in which they're in terror every single day. So, I would like to share with you something that came out of this election that I would call some fundamental truths, 4 or 5 of them, and they buried in the details of the election, and they have been truths for a while, and people don't talk about them much. So, if you live with me on that for a minute, I would summarize for you those things as follows. The first truth is that Mandela's ANC party has yet again failed to get control of the Western Cape province, which is one of the provinces of South Africa. It is the southwestern one that extends north and east from Cape Town. Yet again, they failed to land that province. Okay, they actually bust black Amakosa people from the east at a furious rate. Those people then try to make the place ungovernable, and they try to destabilize the Democratic Alliance government of that province, and they couldn't pull it off. The ANC was so frustrated at the end of the previous 2014 election that that stupid president we had, that polygamist, animist, village idiot, he actually commented that it seems to him ghosts were voting in the West Cape. Anyway, so that was the first truth. They did not get the Western province. So okay. Something's hanging on in the Western province. What is it and why is it? So the second truth is that the distribution of the vote for this Democratic Alliance, when you look at it across the country, you see how the map lights up. It's intensely Democratic Alliance in the West, and then it slowly peters out as you go east. Interesting thing is that when you map onto that the distribution of the Afrikaans language, which is a Dutch derivative, my mother tongue, you'll find that they map almost exactly. So it is people who speak Afrikaans who are basically resisting most strongly in the far west and slowly crumbling towards the east. But in this very last election, they actually made a little bit of a gain towards the east, which is remarkable. But you see that only when you look at voting districts and not at the actual wards or complete complete provinces. You understand what I'm saying? The gerrymandering is such that when you add the numbers together from different booths, different voting stations,
right,
or districts, then the information gets lost and the ANC kind of just takes everything.
It's a little bit like our big cities here in the U.S., yes. And you look at it and you say, that's what happened.
You know, you've got the panhandle and all those areas,
sure.
And much of the north of Florida is blood red, and then you got, Broward County or whatever, and suddenly everything's in...
foreign country.
Where they do special math.
Yeah.
On that happy note, let's take a really quick break here before we are too far over our time. And we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Booyens. We are discussing South Africa, and you can find everything about this program at wethepeopleradio.us. With our guest, Dr. Harry Booyens. We are discussing South Africa. And so for those of you who may not have heard any of our previous shows, there are 9 of them, in some form or fashion, either the entire 2 hours or maybe 1 hour segments, but regardless, there were 9 previous episodes. We've discussed a lot of these things in much greater depth. So if, you know, he's referring to, like maps of where people are and all that, we actually have all that on the web for you. So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, look at some of the previous shows, those maps and everything are right there on the web for you. So you don't have to take our word for it. You can go do your own research.
Yeah, we started at the beginning on this. And so if you want an education on what's happening in South Africa, and it's a really big deal, and it's getting worse.
It's a huge deal, and it's important that as Americans we really understand, because as Harry has so ably pointed out, it's really what would happen if the U.S. didn't beat the Brit, if the United States didn't beat the British and become the United States, there are a lot of parallels between us and South Africa, and there are a lot of things we've been told that were just gigantic lies. So anyway, if you're out to do some homework and you would like it all to be pretty concise with a nice story in the background, you can listen to Harry and look at the web and look at all the things that he has sent us and given us to post so that you can be smart about this. Yep. So, okay, back to the story. Sorry.
So West Africa is
West South Africa. Yeah.
Yeah, West South Africa is actually somewhat fighting back.
They're holding their ground anyway.
They're holding their ground. So where are they going from here, Harry?
Okay, so the matter I'd like to raise is that when you look at South Africa as a whole, it has a population of 57 million. So it is a serious country now in terms of population. But it's going down the tubes at a rapid rate. It used to be the number one gold producer. It's now number eight. Its GDP has been overtaken by Nigeria. There are now other countries in Africa with a higher GDP per capita, like Botswana, etc. They're really moving into President Trump's special African country category now. And the people in the west of the country are looking at all of this, and something happened last week. There were six farm attacks in South Africa, and one of those attacks was now in the Western Cape province, where a farmer was attacked. He was murdered. They found his body in his underclothes at the gate of the farm. The wife was attacked, and they assaulted her with boiling water. So she was bound, and she had boiling water thrown over her head.
Oh.
Always this preoccupation with fire and boiling water. It's like the savage, you know, very impressed with fire. Now, you can imagine how this is going down over there. And at least Katie Hopkins of Britain has picked up on this, and she's on YouTube appealing to the world to please, for heaven's sakes, do something. So, but you won't get that from the BBC, and you certainly won't get it from CNN. You know, nothing could really distract them from attacking President Trump, which is the prime cause of Western civilization, according to them.
Yeah, now, the cover-up.
And it's so visible and transparent, you know. It's an insult to a child.
It's just sad.
So I wanted to talk to you about just a quick few numbers here about that province. First of all, its total population is 6.6 million. Of that 6.6 million, half of them are people who refer to themselves as colored. About 20%, roughly, would refer to themselves as white. And my comment to you is, I object strenuously to those two categories. If ever there was something in apartheid that I really felt miserable about, it was this distinction that was made between white and colored. It just won't stand. And this present government is continuing that in South Africa, and I find it very difficult to draw a line between white and colored. And for that, I would like to go to some examples, and this is very, very important, because I and a lot of people like me feel that there is only one nation there. And they are all Afrikaners, just like, the Dutch and the Swiss and the Germans and the Belgians and the Danes and the Swedes and the Norwegians would call you Amerikaners. That's the word for an American in any of those languages, Amerikaner. Just so these guys are Afrikaners. It means they settled there and their allegiance is to that place. And they've been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. So, to me, the distinction between colored and white is rubbish. The distinction between the black people is real, because that's a completely different culture. They have their own languages. They have their own beliefs. It's a completely different system. One-third, roughly, of the population in that province is black, and all of them live around Cape Town, pretty much all of them, probably 95%. And they're all in these squatter camp arrangements around Cape Town, which tells you they relatively recently arrived there. They were shipped in.
Okay.
There's always been ghettos there, but the ANC of the central government has tried to take that place by shipping people in by the hundreds of thousands.
Sounds familiar.
So, and what's happening is that the so-called colored people feel that the world gets told that they are treated as honorary black, but in fact, they don't get the houses, they don't get the jobs, nobody wants to speak to them in their mother tongue, everything has to be the ANC's Xhosa language, and only the guys shipped in recently get any social benefits. So it is Obama's America on steroids, where only your illegal immigrants get the benefits. Yeah, the locals don't get any.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very, very familiar.
I was just sitting here nodding my head going, sounds familiar.
Yeah, exactly. And I keep telling people, you know, why don't you go to South Africa to see your future? You can see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's going. You know, wake up. Anyway, so as you can imagine, the folks in the Cape are saying so far and no further, and there is now a cry rising that says, okay, we want to secede. We would like to secede formally, openly, and legally in terms of the Constitution of South Africa and with the aid of the world community. That's what's going on.
And do they, what's the, because that's the, it's interesting because the area that we live in, Northern California, the people here, it's not secession, but it's, they would like a different state here so that they're not under the thumb of the California legislature. They would like to have more self-determination. And there, but the process is the problem. I mean, you literally, one of the ways, I mean, this is a whole big topic we won't do, but right now. But one of the ways is that the legislature of California says, oh, okay, great idea. We'll just make a different state, and we agree, and you can go do that. Well, that's never happening. Do you have the same problem in South Africa? Do you need South Africa?
It's going to be, there is a clause in the Constitution that says people have a right to run themselves, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
But in the end, the central government has to vote for that, which, of course, they won't.
Right. Okay. Same problem.
Where the international community comes in.
Right.
Now, as far as I know, farmers are not being attacked and tortured to death in Northern California.
Nope. We've managed to not have that.
So I think there's an extreme situation. Also, I think the people in Northern California have broadly the same culture, certainly not the values, but broadly the same culture as those elsewhere in California. Whereas in South Africa, the Western Cape are largely Christian guys of many hundreds of years standing. They have regular Western capitalist values, free market system values. They largely Judeo-Christian people, whereas the people from the East are black people with their own languages, their own cultures, their own histories. You know, they speak isiXhosa. It's a different situation. This is a real distinction. So what I wanted to do is, with a few minutes that's left, it's to just sketch you the commonality in the West. Why the people in the West are saying they're a nation, they want to be treated as a nation, and they want to split off as a nation, they want to run themselves, and they want this evil ANC out of their faces. They don't want them there, they want nothing to do with them.
Right.
And I can do that best by describing to you who the people in the West Cape are. How did they get there? Who are they?
Okay. I hate to do this to you because it seems like every 2 seconds we have a break. But let's take our break just slightly early so that we don't break this part up, and then we'll run with that thought to the top of the hour. Our guest is Dr. Harry Bouillons. We are discussing South Africa, and you are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. called it.
So we're talking about the breaking away Western South Africa.
How are they going to do it?
How would they go about that?
Well, they would have to prove how they constitute a nation. They would have to show that they can make a economic go of it. They have to at some point have at least a shadow government. And they would have to have the help that they can get in places like the United Nations and the European Parliament. And when all is said and done, all those people will make a lot of noise. Probably some will resist against it. And in the end, the appeal will be to the United States. So these folks are going to be trying in the near future to get as much help as they can from concerned people in the United States to try and save what is left of Western civilization in South Africa.
And how dangerous is that going to be? I mean, anytime you try something like this and fail, the ramifications are usually pretty severe.
Oh, they're already killing them.
Yes.
So.
And the point is that some places have done it wrongly, like, what is it, the Catalans in Spain, who just pulled out an illegal election.
Right.
Other people got it right. The Kosovo people got it right. Not to be confused with the war in Kosovo. But they eventually got their independence. The whole world agreed that South Sudan should be a separate country from the rest of Sudan. So there are models that work.
Well, they really have no choice, because obviously appealing to any sort of political change or humanity or, started out kind of as a, maybe not started out, but it's a private property rights issue, stealing the land from people, but then killing the people and stealing the land. I don't know. I mean, the killing obviously is a bigger problem than the property rights, but tied together.
I had really hoped I could convey to you guys the source of the people that make up that nation in the west of the country, because that is the all-important singular item that has to be proved to the world. Without that, all of this is going nowhere.
Okay.
So what happened is, soon after the Dutch got to the Cape in 1652, they needed labor for the Cape. And what they did is they brought in some of their slaves and their indentured people and so forth from the Far East, particularly from Indonesia. Many of those people were Indian. And, two examples. One of them is my wife's ancestor. Another one is my ancestor. I have an ancestor that was Angela of Bengal. My wife had Angela of Bengal. I had Catherine of Bengal, both Indian women. So, yes, I have Indian ancestry. I don't know how somebody determines that I'm white and the next guy over is colored. Just, what, skin color? That doesn't count today.
No.
That's artificial as far as I'm concerned. And those people who want to argue with me would have to be, outed as racists in order to make the distinction. So today, anybody with a surname Snyman in South Africa is a descendant of Catherine of Bengal, and there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of white South Africans who are descendants of Catherine of Bengal. I'm one of them.
Wow.
Okay. So the next thing is that in 1658, the Dutch took a Portuguese ship on the high seas, and it had 100-something slaves. They brought a big fraction of them to the Cape. And on that ship, for example, was Isabella of Angola. Yes, the country Angola, which is the major source of slaves in Brazil. That ship was on the way to Brazil. Well, Isabella of Angola is my ancestor. I have a black slave ancestor. I'm Lily White, and I have a black slave ancestor. Okay? So have many so-called colored people in South Africa, and so have hundreds of thousands of other white guys. Okay? So you're going to have to be a racist to make the distinction. A little bit later, they got from the Portuguese some folks that they got out of Mozambique, or Mozambique, as the Dutch called it, and they just abbreviated that to Mazbikers. So these people were called Mazbikers. I can show you death notices from the 1920s that still refer to people as Mazbikers. These folks all speak Afrikaans like I do. Their culture is mine. It's all the same people. All they have is a skin tone difference. Okay. Again, if somebody wants to tell me that that is the basis of a cultural difference or an ethnic difference, they would have to confess to be a racist.
So if you don't consider the skin color as a reason to secede, what are they going to go to the South African government with as far as a reason to let them go? I mean,
one of the major reasons will be the fact that their mother tongue is Afrikaans, that their religion is mostly Christian, not exclusively so. The point is, in the end, the Dutch also brought in Muslim people from the East. Okay? Now, my point that I want to make to you, just like what some black people were brought to the United States who were Muslim, the way I look at it is, today, those people that I've mentioned to you, whether they were Indonesian Muslims, whether they were West African black people, whether they were Mozambican black people, whether they were European descended, or whether they were, the last category, Mardakers, which were free slaves from the Far East, often of Indian descent. They were free men, and they came to the Cape. Okay? So when you put all those people down at the Cape for 360 years, you get people who basically have one culture and one value system.
Sure.
And today, all of these people are Westerners by any criterion of any significance. They have nothing in common with South Africa's black Bantu people who have a Bantu culture. Nobody in Africa has any doubt what the word Bantu means. Okay, I spoke to a guy from Rwanda on my own staircase here the other day, and he said, "Do you know the word Bantu?"
As a matter of fact, I do.
So, of course I do. You know. So the only thing that distinguishes among these people, who all speak the same mother tongue and go to largely the same church, okay, is a degree of skin tone. Now, so my comment is, these people are, in fact, the only equivalent in South Africa of the black people of the United States. That's why I'm always so careful to tell you to please stop referring to American black people as, you know, African Americans.
Right. Well, it's not even accurate in most of the cases.
Yeah. So, in the end, you know, we got some French Huguenots that came to the Cape, around 200 of them. And just to show you how interesting it got, one of the people who was banished to the Cape was the Raja of Tambora. So he was a Muslim guy who opposed the Dutch. He was banished to the Cape. And in the end, his son married one of the staunch French Protestant Huguenot daughters. He converted to Christianity, and they married. I hope that gives you some feeling for just how polyglottic this mix of people actually is.
Well, I think that you're...
Welcome to the United States.
Yeah, but the closing line of your writing that we posted for today, it said, your final line on this was, "Today's program explores the future of this 367-year-old Western majority of minorities."
And that's what it is.
And that's exactly what it is.
West State is a majority, and they're a collection of,
of minorities.
They're a minority in the country. They're a majority in the west of the country.
Sure.
And they're staying so far and no further.
Yeah, and they're going to have to figure it out because you can't. You're right. I forget. Is it 5 million or 9 million people?
Nine.
I know they're really different.
The West Cape province, the Western Cape province, which is the southwest.
Yes.
It's about 6.6 million.
Okay.
And then there's a lot more of them in the province to the north of that. That province has a majority of black people, of Bantu people, but they are pretty much all in the far northeastern corner of that province, which is an artificial situation.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's way too many people to... I mean, you can only squeeze them over so far. And
yes.
Same too with the, the farming and all the things that...
The reality is that the black Bantu people have been pushing the indigenous Khoi people, who are the last ingredient of this mix. They pushed them all the way south until we were in the Southwest Cape, and they're the next element of this polyglot mix. And you can't pull them out of the mix anymore. And
right.
Yes, I have a Khoi ancestor as well. In fact, the first one to convert to Christianity at the Cape. She was the interpreter for the first commander at the Cape in 1657. So I am, by skin tone, I'm white. By composition, I have the same ancestors as the so-called colored people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
My name.
Right.
And
not a cut and dried issue, which is why we have 10 episodes with you. We're sorry we have to run away, but we will chat again soon. Thank you, Dr. Harry Billions. We really appreciate all your information. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You're listening to KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.